Killer Keller Podcast. KillerKellerOfficial.com.
THTC, the UK's leading ethical streetwear label. Organically grown and ethically built garments from hemp, organic cotton, and other sustainable materials. 2019 is their 20th anniversary year. Join me with THTC as a Killer Keller podcast sponsor celebrating music, social activism, hemp, and street culture. THTC, eco-fashion redefined since 1999.
Beatbox created. Killer Keller. We're here to talk about world music and street culture.
Killer Keller Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, Killer Keller Podcast in Copenhagen, Denmark, for your sins. And wow, I'm here with a friend of mine, which is pushing on about 20 plus years we've known each other.
Yeah, at least.
at least 20 years. So, you know, but who's counting when time flies? This is DMC champion, what third in the world of 45 collectors and sellers, record, old school vinyl and more, the Dusty Donuts, the producer, the friend of mine, the mighty Mark Hype from Berlin.
Yeah, thanks for inviting.
Yeah.
In our little hotel room here in Copenhagen.
Yeah,
it looks perfect.
I was going to say
pretty well done.
Yeah. I was going to say thanks for coming over, but you were already.
I'm also not from Copenhagen. We are here on a gig together.
That's right.
In a long time and in the pandemic. That's double crazy.
Yeah, that's double crazy. We've been talking about this quite a bit since we connected.
Yeah, of course.
It's insane to think that time is changing so quickly, and this world that, like, at the start of the year, you would have never thought that we would be in this particular time in our lives.
No, not at all.
You know?
So there were things happening in China, but on the scale just widened fast, and then in the beginning, nobody would think of that. The impact would be that big.
Yeah.
Like, and now we are basically all in the same boat.
Yeah. Did you feel like the playing field, the benchmark is we're all on the same level now? So if you're
almost. I mean, nobody can, like, they can travel if they want to. Okay, not everyone to everywhere, but there's no money to be made to do that. They will not. The big, let's say, big names will not get booked anymore. Mm. Like, at least not on a big scale.
Mm.
So there will be not much left for the bigger scales. And I think everything will be going local for the first. Because you have your people there. They're good people. They will show and prove what they did before.
Yeah.
So the people will recognize that their own people, they're in their own cities, they're really good, actually.
Yeah.
And that's all what they get now anyway.
Yeah.
And if some things open up at some point.
Yeah. Because that's the thing as well, like, it's almost like a time to restock on your skills.
Yeah, also. Yeah. And new skills you need.
Yeah.
You're a video editor now.
Yeah, I'm a video content creator.
I'm a streaming god.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because you do, you know, and working to the climate, you stream now. You do stuff on Twitch too, right?
It's all just the different portals where you can stream to, but the streaming itself is a little bit... It's not a complete science, but still, you need to get your, you know, improvements on your experience, make your mistakes at the beginning, and also there's like it felt like every week a new software coming out, like everyone giving new input, rather it like getting not booted out by I don't know, Instagram and Facebook, or like getting multiple streams for cost free, and there's so much stuff happening right now in the streaming market. It's like pretty also, like, bigger companies like Mixcloud directly went after, I think, 2 months, they opened up their video streaming on Mixcloud, which is basically just straight audio.
That's so insane, isn't it?
When stuff like that happened pretty fast.
And
still developing.
What's the other one? There's Twitch, and then there's another one. I forget the name.
But there's a lot of gaming platforms like Mixer.
They're taking that and people are migrating to that as well, aren't they? Like DJs.
Yeah, right now it's Twitch, because Twitch let you stream without booting out, but afterwards it's getting muted because they have to, because of the sync rights. Same as with YouTube or Facebook and Instagram. So the only safe version is right now is Mixcloud, because they... I think that there's this thing in the law, International Law Act, that you can stream because it's not replayable. If it's replayable with the video and the audio, then the sync rights coming in, and then this is forbidden. That's why you have to mute. So it's usually on Facebook and on Twitch. It's muted afterwards, at least partial.
Yeah, I feel like, see, this as we can tell, we're dealing with someone that's in the game here where this is concerned, as we all are. But your music, right? So you've got these two parallels with Mark Hype, right? There's the DMC champion, you know, Dusty Donut 45s collector and seller, and then there's the Mark Hype that is dealing in the like upfront of like tech and live stream and what is published, what is sync rights, what is, you know, all these different areas of social media.
I mean, the thing was, like, when this all happened, then was the next idea was how to stay visible. Mm. Not necessarily relevant, because I have different versions of relevant, I think. I don't need to play music for young kids, actually. I rather play music for mature people. But that's why, I mean, relevant is a different term to work out, but definitely to stay visible, mm-hmm. in your lane or with your people. Yeah. And then streaming started, and it was a very interesting evolution, because in the beginning, everybody just put their phone near the speakers. Like the first 2 weeks.
It was like a.
Then the next step was direct audio.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was through the, then the programs, they were already all there. Mm. All the gamers used it for years, mm-mm. decades possibly. Mm. So we all had to look how the gamers seen working, how they doing it.
Yeah.
And then adapting, like learning programs like OBS, Streamlab OBS.
Yes, for sure.
All that stuff. And then all those little tricky things with the frame rates and
Oh my god! I'm trying to level up. That's a nightmare.
Because
you can go through like 8 to 10 mixes or shows or recordings and still not get it right, and you're just like, what the fuck, man?
And then you have to watch YouTube videos all the time. I like to read and reread things to get it done, like not necessarily manuals, but people. The best guy to do so, blah. But what they all doing is fucking YouTube videos. They always have to watch some 20-something and younger to explain you how all this works.
And I kind of love that.
It's weird.
That is weird, but I do love it. I love the fact that nowadays it's the grab of information. Your teachers used to be older.
Yeah.
At school. Yeah. Now it's just
it's the opposite.
yeah, complete opposite. And also, a lot of times, no age cares. It doesn't even matter. Like, this could be in 2010, 2015, 2018, even in 2020. If you find the thing you're looking for, boom.
You'll find everything. Yeah. There's almost no problem that could be solved. And if it's not on YouTube, there's no problem.
For sure. It's like the new university.
Yeah, it's YouTube University. Yeah. The bad part is now the YouTubeversity became a different term too, for all conspiracy theories.
Of course.
Yeah. But still, I like it in a positive way, to have the YouTube University. You will find your shit there.
Yeah, for sure. From a tech point of view, let's get more into the sync side of things, because we hear these horror stories of like people doing these mixes for an hour on Facebook, and all of a sudden they're never allowed to see it again. And from an artist point of view, if you're trying to get out there, like you say, visibility, that's fucked up. But at the same time, I kind of get it. I understand that there has to be money made, and it can't all be free for people.
Basically, you're just playing other people's music.
Yeah,
they're playing maybe in a very artistic way. Mm. And in a way that they are system relevant, even to people, they are locked down at home. Mm. But still, there's the fucking laws. There's the big major companies, they want to have their penny.
Mm, yeah. Do you think that's... Because there's a lot of people... There's new DJs that I think are coming on Facebook, and they actually don't even see themselves as DJs. They're young guys that... Older guys, they're people that just want to play music to feel connected to their friends on Facebook and build an atmosphere and a vibe that brings people together. And music does that.
Of course.
The innocence of that, and then for them to suddenly discover that after 5 minutes they've been dropped off air.
Because they played the biggest hit that's just around.
Yeah.
Like I said, Mixcloud is the only one who can... give you this guarantee to stay in. I mean, Twitch does too, but just in the stream itself. The point is, the sync rights is like, if you're putting, let's say, a movie out and just putting music in that you haven't licensed, the lawyer of the artist will stand in front of your house.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, and the same is if you're streaming, this is your movie, the stream, it's video. And you're putting music that you doesn't belong to you.
Mm.
So, and then the lawyers would usually stand there, but there's already like agreements for them, platforms like Twitch, YouTube, Facebook. So they're booting you out either way before. That's what usually Facebook and Instagram does. Mm. Or like Twitch let it run through the stream and afterwards it's about a replay that you can't replay it with the video. That's a good part on Mixcloud. It's totally legal because Mixcloud got the British radio license. So they let them stream through, but they're saving just the audio file after because they just have the audio radio license, not with the video. That's a sync right thing.
But that's a masterstroke from Mixcloud. That's a really good idea from Mixcloud because to get that license that essentially empowers everybody that puts stuff on Mixcloud to be the DJ of their radio show.
Yeah,
essentially.
Giles Peterson's Worldwide Radio is completely on Mixcloud, running over it.
That's amazing.
For example, and you know he's 24 hours with all those people on the planet. He's doing working together. It's like it's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. There's I think it's DJ Riz, the old school hip hop. Funkmaster Flex.
Yeah, yeah.
Like eras of...
Yeah, yeah, from Brooklyn, I know.
Oh, bro, like, I love that on Mixcloud. But we were saying that Mixcloud doesn't often get the praise that it's due, and it's really strange, actually, that people go to the more social media platforms and they expect the same results from Mixcloud.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it doesn't happen.
The average guy doesn't care about sync rights, of course.
No, no.
So the main thing right now is to get people somehow on Twitch, which is kind of like working better now.
Mm-hmm.
There's now like this movement, Twitch fam, hashtag Twitch fam, a lot of people using. Mm. So a lot of people checking it. Okay, on Twitch, the stream's running through and I can enjoy the DJ of my choice, whatever. You can also put the donation buttons in and stuff like that.
Oh, that's it. So how do you publicize yourself on Twitch? Do they support like the sharing? How does it work with
that's
Twitch?
That's a crazy point. I haven't taken too much notice on it.
Yeah.
Because I still... The problem is that still the average guy doesn't care about where he is. He wants to have delivered his life now.
Yeah.
Like on Facebook or Instagram, this is working really well. I mean, the view accounts went down anyways, but it's easy to reach on the standard social media platforms where everybody's on.
Mm.
So you have to somehow get your people there
to
Twitch or to Mixcloud, even worse. Mm. But that's the good part is that all those crippled sets on Instagram and Facebook, so people recognize now Twitch. I think it's because of the Americans did most of them and really popularized
and
Twitch.
The gamers as well. The gamers of
The gamers were before. That was gamers, but now it's like for people who really enjoy DJ sets at home for I don't know. Just instead of listening to radio, listening to a live DJ.
Yeah.
And yeah, and then that's Twitch is right now, it's big, kind of. The problem is, I don't know how long. Because everything is constantly changing.
Yeah, I know.
For right now, I mean, it was always there since the madness began, but now it became bigger than because Instagram and Facebook never changed anything because they couldn't. Yeah. Also, you have to say, but
they couldn't. They're juggernauts, and they can't just turn around so quickly.
Yeah, 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 of course not. Otherwise, they had to pay for something that they don't want to pay, and even possibly couldn't, because so many people streaming.
Yeah,
or you could pay all those licenses. Yeah, it's impossible.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no structure for it. There's no structure for it. They're publishers essentially.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah,
and they can't. True. They can only do what they can do, and if they haven't got it in place, then they're fucked. You know, they're fucked. So you do a live stream show. Was it bi-weekly, did you say?
In the beginning I did it weekly, and I did, it wasn't actually like a show, I did do another one.
Yeah.
Well, you mean Wednesdays and Wakes.
That's right, Wednesdays and Wakes.
The other one was just DJ streams with different genres I did, all on 45 to show my range, and basically to be visible, and instead of playing stuff you play in a club, for example, you don't need to do that on a live stream because it's not a feeling of a club, it's more show people diverse music.
Yeah.
And different styles, and also like from the genres, they know songs they usually don't play in a club or stuff like that. But Wednesdays and Wax is different. It's from Dusty Donuts, from our label and crew. It's like we thought about, okay, it's crazy that nobody was thinking about before the pandemic. That's also stupid. Now yeah. I think this is one of the positive effects that it changed a lot.
Because everyone's panicking about it and then they...
Yeah, it's not only they're panicking, but it's like, okay, we need different concepts now to be visible or whatever, to just do something.
Mm.
And now it's so much streaming interviews, like on Instagram it became big,
yeah.
like the split screen thing, like Versus, for example, yeah. is huge. But they're using huge stars, of course. Yeah. So we're doing it in a very slow, smaller scale. We're doing like the 45 hip-hop funk soul scene,
mm-hmm.
and then interviewing people. It's more like a talk show. It's not really interviewing. We're interviewing a bit in the beginning, but usually it's like we're playing each seven records to each other and then talking about stories, life stories behind it, or like stories of the record.
That's so
sick.
Who
sampled that, or all that. We go on the direct audio. We started with the Instagram thing. We really like worked it out with cables.
Mm-hmm.
In the end, we had the perfect solution, but it was too stressful to install. But we had through Skype, through Yellow Dark, through OBS, and then on Instagram with two screens, with logos
through
on
the flux
and direct
capacitor.
Sound. It looked like a professional show on Instagram.
No, I get it.
But still, it's
but
like...
But you got it to the best level. And like you say, after is the juice worth the squeeze after like all
that's
of that?
That's the point. It's not that you don't make money with it, but it's like Instagram still throws you out, or you can't save it in the end when it throws you out. Or it's like, So we decided to go with StreamYard now, which is like...
Mm-hmm.
Horizontal format, and that's on Facebook and Twitch then.
So
there's a specific scene to it, so they follow it. So it was just that everybody was used to have those interviews on their phone, on Instagram. But yeah, I think it's better for in the long run, it's definitely better to have it like on a safe harbor, and that's why we're choosing not to go on Instagram anymore for that.
It's just unstable, and also there's a lot going on. You know, you can't cut through the noise all the time. I remember within the first month of, people, I think Premiere and RZA had their battle.
It was the first, there were a few more, like Timbaland and...
That's it,
And Swizzbeats, because they founded that.
Yeah.
Versus thing. So then a few more like this, like 4 or 5, I think. Yeah. Then was the Premiere RZA one. That's the first time I recognized them.
Yeah.
And that was huge. That was also like 200,000 at this point.
Yeah, it was a lot.
Yeah.
Crazy.
That was for this time. It was like, what the fuck happening there?
Yeah, yeah. And I was there watching the whole thing.
And who was all in there?
Yeah, yeah.
In the chat. Crazy. Like all those names you saw, like basically a whole record shelf was in there.
Yeah, yeah. And like young guys, new guys, other. Old girls. Like, you know what I mean? Like everyone. Yeah. I saw like people like Rihanna and...
Everybody, everybody was in there. Yeah. It was crazy. I was like, this was a crazy night.
But directly after that, when you looked in the top bar of your stories... Every single person was live.
Yeah, crazy. Absolutely. Now it's still, everything is pink.
Yeah, everything's pink.
Pink rings now.
Yeah. I mean, big shout out DJ Lord, because I do love checking out his mixes. Mr. Thing All Day. You know, these people are selectors in the art of like street culture and music. They switch lanes in all sorts of genres, still keeping it. They're selectors, man. They are selectors, and you fall into that category.
Yeah,
I think there's
because you're old enough and went through all decades and listen basically to a lot of music and understand music in a way.
Yeah. On the subject of selection and like how you're able to move a crowd and move what your policy is in sounds and tracks, do you feel like now is the best time for that as a DJ on live stream?
I mean, you can do this and it's worth it, because then people probably learn and understand why you can do better. Because in a club, they have this with their friends and they just want to have this good time, which is totally, it is what it is. It's totally that what it is.
Yeah.
But if we're there doing experiments, and then this group thing break away, so nobody wants that. Then they're going to another one where everybody listens to the same. Some people can say, okay, they like just what they know from the radio. I like more, but I stay with them because at this time I want to just have a good time with them.
Yeah.
I don't care that there's. I can listen at home my more radical stuff case. So, but now with the streaming thing, you don't go out. You watch at home.
Do you think that damages a DJ? Like, do you think it damages their credentials of like going to a club after all of this has happened, knowing that they've been exposed so much?
I mean, that in the club they're doing again like the hits, and I don't think so. I think people forgetting fast.
Yeah, true.
It's more about to getting more people into different kind of good music. Mm. I think that's the main point. And then probably a bigger audience opens for more stuff, for more diverse music. So I think that's the main point. That can you do now with the live streaming? And you couldn't do too much before in clubs.
So what you're saying is, and I'm kind of getting this, is to be on social media means that you're friend farming, you're audience farming, you're trying to bring
also,
people.
Yeah.
Which you wouldn't do if you were in a 300 capacity venue.
That's true.
You'd be getting paid though. So
yeah.
it's a switch. It's just it's that short term switch that brings people to your show next time.
And then you probably can do some other stuff. I mean, I'm also different. Mm. I'm not doing this commercial club thing. Mm. Never did.
No.
So, but still, it's good that somebody's doing it on the live streams. That, you know, because in the beginning, I saw so many DJs doing exactly their club sets. Because that's what they had sorted out, that they were like familiar with and used to. And yeah. But a lot of people were like, but that's not feeling like a club because I'm sitting at home and eating my nachos.
Yeah. So you've got to be doing something that works to that.
And also interesting concepts like this interview thing. Mm. So it's more entertaining instead of just playing a club set in a non-club environment.
Yeah.
Which is basically your home view.
Yeah. Everything's a lot more raw. You've got to...
Yeah, also.
People can hear your faults and mistakes more because...
Because they're watching directly all the time. Yeah. In a club, they're not necessarily watching the DJ all the time. No. They pretty much with their own.
It's live, so you can make mistakes.
And it sounds different when it's actually very loud, and then there's like all this dynamics around you, and it's a different... your senses are working different in a club than instead of in front of a big TV screen and through your groove.
Yeah.
And then on the Chromecast, and then putting on a big flat screen. Mm. And then you see like this guy at home trying to play his soul out, you know.
But as a DJ champion.
And it's live then, that's the point.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And you don't have like no feedback.
No.
I mean, you can probably read some comments and shit.
But you switch off and that's it. And you're back into your room and there's no response.
Yeah, that's nothing.
As a DJ
The camera's your buddy.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Dude, I get... my friend Anthony, actually, while we're on this subject, my friend Anthony, he was going through it on his own in his house, and he got a DJ mixer and he was like, started doing like Zoom style DJ parties. And then he had this idea of like, I'm gonna do like themed parties, right? Where, you know, this will help my mental state, this will help my friends' mental states, and you know, we'll have a Batman themed thing.
So he
got all dressed up with the Batman gear, right? And he's playing these tunes and like it's like for an hour or something, all of his friends are online, everyone's having a party, slowly getting drunk, mix. And then he finishes, right, see you later, guys. Zooms off. He's standing there in his room on his own, drunk, wearing a Batman's outfit. And it killed me when he told me.
But a theme party is a really nice idea, for example. That's something that makes more fun because the people in at home have something to do.
Yeah.
You dress up, like, for whatever theme.
That's
more what I mean. It's like you have to do on the live streams, you have to come with some more interesting concepts instead of just playing a club set and drink to it.
Yeah. You have to switch it up and work it out.
Yeah.
But as I was coming to, as a DMC champion, as a DJ champion, when we talk about that live experience and the way that back in the day was, I mean, this guy's a fucking OG. This guy's a DJ legend, a legacy for Europe. And you perform. I remember watching those DJ videos back in the day, and it's like, I was there, I watched it live, but when you watch it back on the video, there's a lot more mistakes than you
realize. Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean? And then, when you're choosing a winner of a competition, I feel like there has to be nowadays, there has to be two versions of it. There has to be like the theory and the practice,
like the goal and what the rewatch for
the rewatch
for the judge, like on a field, on a soccer field, and then
for real.
I can't say now. I have to see the video proof.
Yeah. Just to see that the technical, because people watch stuff more online than actually at the venues and on live stream.
That's true. And there's also, there was this big mistake once, like I think 2 years ago or some, at the Australian Red Bull Freestyle.
Right.
And it was the guy who won. And then there was DJ Wackett from Canada, and he saw the video.
Yeah.
And then there was the guy pre-produced some of his stuff with scratches on it.
No.
On the performance, yeah. And then it was, and the needle was dropping off the record, and still the scratches were going on, and he was putting it on. And Wackett, he's like, eagle eye. He was like, what the fuck is this? And then, like, there was running around all world, everybody, like, how can this guy winning Australian championship with, you know, making
what
stuff?
What did that tell you? Huh?
So he, of course, he had to step off that, and the second one once then. But still, then something like this happens because they haven't recognized. Mm. But on the replay, everybody like, what?
So fuck. So you need that. And a big shame on him for fucking cheating.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It was pretty awful to see this. Because who knows, so much extra was also prepared there.
Mm.
And on the rest of the set, you don't know. But this one especially was, you saw it, and then the needles get out of the record. Like, and he put it back. But in this time, it's like still hardcore cutting over it.
It makes you wonder what, we spoke about this yesterday as well, didn't we? That technology in many positives is there for enhancing a creative value. But I just feel, and I said this the other day on a podcast, I feel like DJing has all the components to advance itself in so many amazing ways. Yet, because there's so many people that are able to do it, because it's just readily available, it's kind of created a neutral. It doesn't feel like the right, I don't know, it's so hard to put the technology into something that is so human, it's an instinctual kind of thing, isn't it, being a DJ?
Yeah, I mean, basically you should be a good performer if you're a DJ.
Yeah. And not the jumping on table kind of DJ.
Yeah.
Like, the only person that can really get away with that is A-Track, all right?
Yeah, because you can show and prove.
Yeah.
Because you're coming from the highest point of technical DJing.
Yeah.
So, of course, you can know throwing cakes if you want to.
You can throw cakes, throw boats, you know.
He's not doing it, actually. His lockdown sessions, what he's doing.
Yeah.
He's doing a lot of interesting, experimenting,
yeah, that's right.
Technical stuff, also with his with Chromios, his cousin, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he's still on top of the game, not only because of the EDM, that's because too, but he also still got it.
Yeah,
that's interesting part of the track.
Yeah.
And you have another one like this, I guess, like on this high ground at least.
High ground. Craze.
Yeah, but Craze is not that huge.
No,
what I mean is just not that huge in the booking like in A-Track.
Mm.
So A-Track filling up Madison Square Garden alone.
Yeah, that's crazy, yeah.
Craze is technically all like same level like A-Track. Yeah. Like, still. Yeah. And he's still doing crazy routines. And
he's
amazing forever.
Yeah.
he's never went better, you know. He's only better.
Yeah. But I know what you mean. But speaking to Craze on podcast, you know, he's like, yo, like, these are older cats. Like, A-Track is an old, although he was young when he started, he's still technically, he's in the same class as people that were of the era, the golden era of turntablism.
Yep.
Like, where are the stars of, maybe that's just my interpretation because I remember that period, but the names, the technical advances, from a human point of view, the superstars. Do you think there's a platform for them now, like that golden era had?
No, there's. It's still a niche again, but the niche became bigger. I mean, look, there's the portablism scene now. For example, this like they're all doing on small 45,
right.
Like 7-inch records.
So sick!
Stretching.
I love it. Yeah. You're right, actually. That's sick.
And it reminds me on a skater scene. Yeah. Kind of from back, like also the actual skater scene, I guess the same, but I remember from back that they had all those like customizing things, like all kinds can be customized on those turntables.
Yeah, I love it.
From the arms to the platters, extra knobs, lights.
Yeah.
They have bullets as potties or skulls.
I've seen it.
They have so much stickers on.
And people are making their own brands as well, which is really cool as well. And like you say, modifying.
Totally modding. It's a modding scene. And they're basically just cutting with effects And then there's a beat from the iPhone, for example, on a Bluetooth speaker.
It's so sick.
And they can sit. Then they make like drone videos sitting on cliffs and shit. Yeah. It's like, so yeah, it's a very, very unique turntablism scene. It's a very unique niche in the turntablism. There's also like the crazy guys with a whole studio full of equipment doing music with turntables.
But it makes more sense to me because with that restriction, and I say it all the time, with restriction comes creativity. They're implementing their own small box with their components that make what they want to do work, and that creates their individuality.
There's a whole market for Bluetooth faders.
Crazy.
Like, separate YouTube Bluetooth faders putting on those.
Mad.
There's like, I don't know, 5-6 companies.
That's insane.
And they're all, each new model is better than the other, kind of, like.
You've just blown my mind, dude. You've just fucking blown my mind.
No, but that's what I mean.
So this is the future, really, isn't it?
There's niches. It's all little niches all together. There's a place then for that.
That's incredible.
And I think the portalism scene is quite big now. Because
I've seen it. I've seen it too many times. Yeah. But I've never put to... See, this is how naive I am
that's
to this.
That's crazy hardcore nerdy scratching.
I've never gone into the hole. But like when I have seen it countless times on my Explore page. And I've just thought, well, that's just one brand. I didn't realise that there was components and characters within that, and they're building their own sets to spec.
There's like 3-4 turntables out there, and it's like 4-5 new from independent companies in the making, even like to make this better and with 3D printed and all that.
You have blown my mind.
There's something happening. For a while now. You know Richie Rufftone?
Yeah.
So he's becoming the biggest seller of all this portalism stuff. He got his own store.
Right, everybody, stop this now.
He's totally
crazy.
He's totally onto that. He's one of the main
That's
guys
crazy.
There now.
Really?
Yeah.
Scotland,
yeah,
Richie Rufftone.
Yeah.
I'm talking to my guy. That's amazing, Richie. There's a... DJ Woody.
Yeah. Woody is doing his own thing, the Woodwork Records. Yeah, he's putting out constantly. Also
he's a beast. You're a beast,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's he's still, and then he's putting out constantly records, scratch records, or like 12s, I think, too, with good stuff on it.
He's a character. He'll be coming on the podcast.
He's also old skater scene.
Yeah, he's the whole skater. Yeah, exactly. That's right.
He's a good guy.
Yeah, yeah. He's a good
friend.
Good man. Yeah, for real. We could talk for fucking ever, but I know we've got to go and do a show in a minute. It's suddenly just dawning on me. Like, shit. Brother, it's been a fucking pleasure.
Absolute, man.
Thanks. OG, 20 years, baby.
It's exactly 20. Yeah. Then we released our first song together on a Battle of the Year soundtrack.
That's right, Battle of the Year 2000. We also did Can't Affect and Light My Fire. That was some other tunes we did.
Yeah, but those are the two that came out.
And then we went on tour with it. That was a bigger... bro, like when you think about how long ago that was, I can't believe you were in the same studio, your same house. Crazy. Berlin represent. Berlin, come on, man. The Mark Hype, bro. Thank you so much, my brother.
Of course, mate.
All the time. Killer Keller Podcast, once again, in and out like in was out of fashion, okay? Don't forget to subscribe. Hit all the buttons, all right? Big shout out to Graffiti Kings. We're out like that. Peace.